Hey, 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 it's Carrington from Real Dudes Podcast, and you're listening to Play Comics.
And welcome to Play Comics, the show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. As always, I'm Chris, and today I have Chris Baker with me from so many things, I'm just going to let him introduce himself.
I guess I am from so many things. First of all, most relevant to your audience, I run a YouTube channel called Superhero Video Games, which you can access superhero.bg, and I talk about superhero video games there. Go figure. I am also a games industry vet, I guess you could say. I currently work for a company called Zen Studios, and I am currently working on a game called Operencia, The Stolen Sun, which is kind of an old school, kind of classic RPG, first person dungeon crawling, and I was able to write most of that. I worked at a company you may have heard of called Marvel. I worked there for about 7 years in their games department. I'd like to think I know a thing or two about superhero games. I also worked at LucasArts for a few years, and I wrote reviews in the early 2000s. And well, not just reviews, but you know, I was a previews editor. I was an editor on the official U.S. PlayStation magazine from 2000 to 2004. And I've also worked at Gazillion with Marvel Heroes, and I wrote a book called Wrong Retro Games, You Messed Up Our Comic Book Heroes, which, much like your show, kind of talks about things that older superhero games didn't accurately talk about, and or the older games did not portray well in their when they came out.
I know, and really it's that work with Marvel in the games department that got me the most excited, because, I mean, we have here a Wolverine title, which granted did come out a little bit before you were there, but...
Oh, a lot before I was there, yeah. I started in 2007. Yeah.
So this thing was like 10 years old by the time you got there.
I guess 13. Came out in 94, so yeah. It's a teenager by that time.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
It's at that awkward age.
One of the things I've really been wondering is, like, how they decide which comics even get a game, besides, you know, Wolverine is super popular in the 90s. Of course he's going to get a game.
Yeah, well, Acclaim / LJN / Flying Edge / whatever they wanted to call themselves back then, depending on the game that was being marketed. They had a Marvel license. I don't know exactly what that entailed, but it definitely entailed X-Men. It definitely entailed Spider-Man throughout the early and mid-90s. So, this was part of that deal. And obviously, Wolverine was incredibly popular back then. You know, in the early 90s, any X book was at the top of the charts and sold, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of copies. It made total sense that a Wolverine game would come out in 1994.
Yeah, and Wolverine, for a while, being like the only X-Men character that really had an ongoing solo series, too.
Ongoing, yeah. Yeah, you'd get like spinoffs, like there's a Gambit, there was a Rogue. Like everyone would get kind of their six-issue series. But yeah, Wolverine was so popular that he would get his own series that I believe it started in 1988. And it's changed. It started renumbering every so often, but it's basically been going since 1998, more or less.
So, I mean, what made you want to come on and talk about Wolverine specifically, just more from the comic side of things?
Other than the fact that you've already covered a lot of the games I'd be interested from my childhood, I love Wolverine. I did get to work on the movie game, the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie game. That was one of the ones I got to work on. You know, some Ultimate Alliance 2 had him in it. So, you know, some games there. But you know, I don't know. It's honestly, it's just a game that was on your list that you know, I love X-Men. I love Wolverine, so I figured it was a good one to talk about.
It's a good enough reason as any, right?
Sure.
I don't know too many people that don't like X-Men in some form.
Right.
Once they've gotten into comics at all.
The landscape's changing there quite a bit, though, just based on, you know, the kind of Fox stuff of the past decade. And, you know, Avengers are more popular than X-Men now, which was absolutely not the case in 1994. You know, so, you know, the X-Men, I think, are going to make a big comeback now that Disney fully owns them again. But yeah, in the 90s, they ruled everything. And then, you know, that kind of started fading away in the, I'd say, late 2000s, probably. And, you know, kind of gave way to the Avengers world that we're in now, which, you know, is a pretty great world, too.
Oh, definitely. And I love that in the game so far, you don't really have that giant separation of the two groups. More so because the games are going to kind of focus on characters anyway. You can't really get the huge, like, Ultimate Alliance roster that you can get down in a 16-bit cartridge. You had Captain America and the Avengers with, right. You know, had Spider-Man in there and stuff. A little bit of crossover there. You had Spider-Man with an X-Men in that other LJN classic that I like to forget exists all the time.
Arcade's Revenge.
But for the most part, I mean, you have worlds that are kind of distinct, but also if you go and look at them, they wouldn't really seem out of place if they were magically put together.
Yeah, you know, there was actually, you could almost read X-Men books as their own universe, because they kind of, you know, they did cross over with the Avengers and the rest of the Marvel Universe every so often, but less so than, like, a Spider-Man would, or Ghost Rider, Punisher, somebody like that. Because they kind of had their own business going on, you know, with the occasional crossovers. So, you know, they definitely were part of the larger Marvel Universe, but they were also something that if you only paid attention to X-Men and nothing else, which really, as far as Marvel was in the 90s, that was kind of me. I didn't feel like I was missing out on a lot. But yeah, I do hope that we do see Wolverine in a MCU movie in the next 5 years. That'd be awesome.
Oh, I know, because one of the things that has always confused me a little bit is how mutants are just hated in the Marvel Universe by that large group of people, but then you get other characters that just for whatever reason don't have that mutant label and nobody really cares.
Yeah, you know, it's I've thought about that too, and it's not necessarily a consistent thing, but you know, the Avengers have better PR, I guess. You know, and just X-Men being mutants, it's almost like kind of just a racist slander. I don't know, just having that label. You know, I think that's kind of maybe a point that some would make, is like, it's just being different like they are is kind of, you know, part of what makes them relatable, because, you know, everyone's a mutant in some respect, I guess.
Yeah, and just the fact that pretty much no matter who you are, you can find a member of the X-Men to relate to is something that I know pulls a lot of people into the series.
Yeah, you know, there's certainly plenty of them. Although, you know, I love Wolverine, but I would not say that I can really relate to him. His past is much more tortured than mine. You know, I'm taller. It's not exactly a character that I have a lot in common with, but at the same time, I feel like I could sit down with him and enjoy a beer or something, you know?
Oh, definitely. We don't want to jump into a ton of X-Men history here just because we've covered X-Men so much. We covered it last week, all that other fun stuff.
Yeah, you know, I think it's worth talking about, you know, Wolverine specifically in this particular era, because this game is very mid-90s Wolverine. It, like, you can totally see that when you play it. You know, there, it's in its characters, but you know, there's also just like it was kind of an odd time in some ways, because this game came out right after Wolverine lost his adamantium. He was a bone clawed Wolverine at this point. So in a way, it is very much of its time, but it's also not really reflective of exactly what was happening in the comics right then. But, you know, it also has characters that a lot of people have probably never heard of, like Albert and LCD and the Lurker and just a cyber, like very obscure villains that were kind of all over the Wolverine comics at the time. So if you're reading the comics, you knew who these villains were, but they haven't exactly had a lot of staying power over the years.
And that's one of the bad parts for me, not having read all the comics, using the show as an excuse to kind of see what I missed out on, is I legitimately thought LCD was just something made up for the game, because the name and the way that they use her just seems so weird. In 90s.
Yeah, yeah. If your listeners aren't getting the pun, you know, her name is Elsie, E-L-S-I-E space D-E-E, which if you say it fast is LCD, you know, like a display or something. And she is an android character who was created by Donald Pierce of the Reavers. You might remember him from Logan if the name doesn't ring a bell. She was created. She's a little like 4-year-old girl that was like an android who's actually a ticking time bomb who's programmed to go off when she touches Wolverine. You know, and then in the comics they have like this moment where she decides that she really likes Wolverine and doesn't want to kill him, and you know, I guess it's touching or something. Yeah, and she hangs out with Albert. Albert is like basically an android version of Wolverine, who I'm not going to pretend that I know a lot more about. You know, the character Cyber was a Wolverine nemesis of the time, and he's pretty much just a guy who has a past with Wolverine and wants to kill him. Not a whole different than a lot different than Sabretooth, to be honest. And he is like covered in adamantium and has like adamantium fingernails. So he's kind of like an adamantium exoskeleton as opposed to Wolverine's internal adamantium. Yeah, it's just Bloodscream is like a vampire kind of thing. Not exactly a vampire. Not exactly Morbius either, but I guess he's kind of the same idea as like a Morbius who needs life force, or Morbius in the animated series of Spider-Man is, I think, is what I'm thinking of, where he like needs life force to keep going, and you know, Bloodscream is like kind of that concept, but he's like a totally different looking character. So yeah, just a lot of weird characters that are very of their time and don't really, you don't see him that much anymore, although I know that Cyber apparently is in the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider comics now, and he's been resurrected or something to be the new Hornet, which was another Spider-Man identity a while ago. I don't know all the details there, but I found that interesting when I was looking him up today.
So really the key is, for understanding Wolverine in the 90s, he was everywhere.
Yeah, he was so everywhere that, you know, the really great Wolverine stuff pretty much came more so in the X-Men book, I think. Although Wolverine number 75, where he learns that he actually has bone claws, it has one of my favorite panels in any comic book, when he pops those bone claws for the first time. He's just like anguish. It's like, that's one of my favorite panels. It's like a full page, but yeah, like in terms of like big things happening in Wolverine's life and his own book, it was more like, you know, what kinds of new characters can we create that are, that will just be there to torment Wolverine. You know, you had characters like Lady Deathstrike who were pretty common in there, you know, Sabretooth kind of, but not as much as you'd think was in his own kind of Wolverine book. I guess he was kind of big enough to make it the X-Men core books. But yeah, Wolverine was everywhere. Absolutely.
So on that note, we'll drop a few promos for some other shows and then come back and talk about this game.
As a geek with a life outside of gaming, it can be hard to stay informed. The Sometimes Geek Podcast is your weekly update of all the major video game news, brought to you with the insight of an everyday gamer. Episodes are kept short and to the point, so you have more time to spend playing games instead of reading about them. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and at sometimesgeek.com. The Sometimes Geek Podcast, because we can't be geeks all the time.
Hey, Slackers, I'm Matt.
And I'm Jesse.
We host American Slacker, the show that keeps you updated on all of the weirdest news around the globe, along with what's going on in the world of Xbox, music and movie suggestions, and fun interactive games.
Every other week, we bring on interesting guests from all walks of life, from filmmakers to musicians, funeral directors to small business owners, and even Jeff Goldblum.
What? No, we never got Goldblum, man.
Oh, a man can dream, can't he?
American Slacker Podcast. New episodes every Wednesday.
Available on Spotify, iTunes, and all of your smart devices. Or anywhere else, you know, you might happen to cop a podcast.
They're downloading MP3s, not buying an eighth. I'm shutting this shit down. That's it.
There you go.
Those are some great shows you should check out, but first let's finish up with this one. So, Chris, I mean, I've kept saying this game, but really, I mean, can you consider these the same game?
They're not the same game, no. They're both called Wolverine Adamantium Rage, but they are they're very different outside of their first level. Outside of their, I'd say, their basic concept. The basic concept of both games is that Wolverine goes back to Weapon X for the first level, which, you know, depending on the game you play, looks entirely different, has different characters to fight. And Shinobi Shaw is the mastermind behind it all, supposedly. And in neither one is he actually the final boss, but he's like the character that supposedly is tormenting Wolverine, even though he's never actually met Wolverine in the comics at this point. But yeah, so actually, if you don't mind, I have a bit of an exclusive for you, which I have permission to read off here. I am in a book coming out in a few months called The SNES Omnibus Volume 2, N through Z. It's by a guy named Brett Weiss. Volume 1 is out now. Just look up SNES Omnibus on Amazon or whatever, and you'll find it.
We'll drop some links in the show notes as well, cool. In case you don't want to try to worry about spelling things.
It is literally every North American released Super Nintendo game, and you know there's so many of them. He had to make it into two books. The first book is probably like 3 inches, an inch and a half thick, but it's like 500 or 600 pages. It's very hefty, and then another one's coming, and you know Wolverine's a W, and I got to write a little snippet about him, and I'm going to read that here, and it kind of, I think, summarizes, you know, the kind of core differences in the game and who some of the characters are. So here goes. Just within the past couple of years, I've realized something about this game that I never knew before. It's an entirely different game on Super Nintendo than the Sega Genesis version released at the same time. Same cover, shared advertisements, there was absolutely nothing to indicate these were different games. Even the back of the box text is identical, save for one phrase. While the SNES Wolverine battles his way from the Weapon X lab to the streets of Tokyo, Genesis Wolverine battles his way from the Weapon X lab to the sewers of New York City. So the SNES version is a little less smelly, if nothing else. So yeah, both stories start from the Weapon X with Wolvie trying to find clues to his past. But from there, it's totally different, with the SNES version turning Wolverine into a gullible idiot, blindly following trails because a supervillain tells him to go there. Meanwhile, the Genesis version basically frames Logan as more of a sheer jerk, knowing his path and constantly refusing help from fellow X-Men. Not much better. And neither has any real sense of resolution at the end, just congratulatory words from Xavier and friends. One thing both games nail, representing 1990s Wolverine comics in one cohesive product. If Wolvie should ever find himself starring in a game again, he might face off against Lady Deathstrike or Selene, maybe Cyber, Shinobi Shaw, or Bloodscream, but Tri-Fusion, the Destroyer Program, Geist, Fugue? So 90s, and so never to be seen again anywhere else. Genesis has its own C-listers with Albert, LCD, and Lurker, but unlike SNES, it did get Sabretooth. Oddly, both were published by different divisions of the same company. Genesis was Acclaim, while SNES was the infamous LJN. And unlike Maximum Carnage, those initials unfortunately do apply for Adamantium Rage. Let's just not. There you go. So that's kind of a summary of, you know, kind of the differences and who's in them.
Okay, so the first thing my wife and I pretty much both said at the same time when we were watching some Let's Plays the other day was that it seemed like they gave two different teams the same set of preliminary notes to make the game and just couldn't decide which one they liked better, so they made them both.
Yeah, I think there's probably some accuracy there. You know, it's definitely two different teams. And, you know, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo do different things. They do different things well. You know, Genesis is known to be more, you know, a little faster of a system, and I think it is a faster game on Genesis. And, you know, Super Nintendo is known to have more colors, better sound, so, you know, I think those kind of come through, too. So it makes sense. You know, it makes sense to have, like, two different teams specialized. Theoretically, that makes for better games, you know. But, you know, this game really isn't that great. Although it is a little more playable than I remember it being from back in the day.
Yeah, I have the Genesis version that I found out at the flea market one day. And, I mean, I have no desire to go find the Super Nintendo one after playing this.
Oh, well, they do play pretty differently, actually. Like, Genesis has a lot more, I would say, better animations and, you know, kind of more accurate to Wolverine kinds of animations. Like, did you ever, like, climb up a wall?
When I could pull it off.
Yeah. That on the Genesis, it looks a lot better because his arms are going, you know, on top. Like, they're going like more of an overhand kind of animation, whereas on Super Nintendo, for some reason, when he's climbing walls, it's kind of at his chest level, which is just weird. It just doesn't look right. But at the same time, I'll give it credit that it does that. I think that's a pretty cool like Wolverine kind of thing to do, is to climb walls. You know, I think back to an old cartoon episode where he's fighting a Sabretooth in the Arctic, and he's basically climbing up a huge ice wall by sticking his claws into the cliff until he makes it to the top, where Sabretooth starts to beat the crap out of him again. So that was a cool thing, and you know, I don't know if on Genesis you could also do that from the ceiling, but he could do that a little from the ceiling as well, which made for some interesting traversal puzzles. But I think the thing that kind of, you know, makes the game not as good as it could have been, unfortunately, on both systems, more so on Super Nintendo, is just poor controls. Like, everything feels a little delayed. And on Super Nintendo specifically, the collision detection is just awful. Like, you can just be standing on somebody and they can be swinging their sword at you, and you can be, you know, slicing away at them, and neither one of you are hitting each other. You have to, like, be in a very specific spot. So I mean, this is kind of like a textbook example to me of like just controls really meaning the difference between a good game and a bad game, because it's actually a pretty decent I enjoyed playing it in some ways more than I thought I would, because I played this in 1994, probably the Super Nintendo version, and I know I didn't make it past the first level because the controls just were terrible. And then I never played the Genesis version because, as I said, I didn't even know it was a different game. But yeah, it was interesting to play. I played most of the Super Nintendo version. I got as far as I could without cheating, and then, you know, I put in some codes just to see what the other levels were like so I could experience them. But yeah, it's unfortunately not a very great game overall, and the Genesis one is better, but not a whole lot better.
Yeah, no, one of the huge differences that really caught my eye was just the openings, how the Super Nintendo had the comic panels that, I mean, quite frankly, could have been done a lot better and have been done a lot better in games that came out earlier, versus the Genesis one where, I mean, that thing looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, the Genesis one does come off as a lot more kind of animated, and what little plot there is makes a little more sense on Genesis. Neither of them have a stirring narrative, but like, yeah, the Super Nintendo story especially just really makes no sense. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it makes Wolverine seem like an idiot because he'll just like see a note and it's like the key to your past is in Japan, and it's like that's all there is. There's nothing else. Like, and you know, he just is like, I gotta go to Japan, you know, whereas in like Genesis, where he is a little smarter but more of a jerk, it's like he knows where he needs to go, but then Professor Xavier pops in and he's like, why won't you let us help you, and he's like, no. There's a pretty funny instance actually in the opening cutscene of Super Nintendo where it starts out with Wolverine's just in the X Mansion, and he's at a computer in his full Wolverine costume, and he's looking at the computer and he says, "One of us is going to have to give, computer, and it ain't gonna be me," which is hilarious just on its own. I recommend everyone look it up on YouTube. But it's actually, that actually happened. I think it was X-Men number 7 in the Claremont Lee run. But the difference was, in that instance, it was actually Wolverine in like street clothes, just like, and it had like more context around it. So it actually makes sense when it's presented there. But here, it just like, it's the only thing he says, like, "I hate you, computer." and then he types in his password for email, which was a very new thing in 1994. I don't think I even knew what email. I knew what email was. I sure didn't have it in 1994. And it says enter password, and you see a bunch of dots on the screen, and then it says access denied. So he did not get into his email. And then it says Wolverine information regarding Weapon X program unearthed, and it's like, but he can't get into his email. How is he getting this message? I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be a hacker or something. I don't know. It starts off on a very odd note. Whereas on Genesis, it doesn't make a whole lot more sense. He sees a photograph and crushes it and goes to the Weapon X facility. And then you get a pretty cool animation that's like kind of telling the story of him getting his adamantium in the Weapon X series. But it's very confusing because there's no real kind of break. And I actually thought I was playing that when I started the Genesis game, but apparently he's just remembering that specific part of his life. And then you're playing in modern times with Ori's return to Weapon X. So, long story short, there is not much in terms of story in either of these games.
No, I mean, in some instances, it's like just going back and trying to figure out where he came from should be enough. But then you realize how many other people passed through Weapon X and all these just little Easter eggs that could have been there, that definitely would have been there if the game came out now instead of 94. And just all kinds of things that modern me wishes was there. And just in the back of my mind, I have to remember that, you know, this was 94. It probably wasn't going to happen.
Right. Well, what would you like to see? What would modern you like to see in these levels?
I mean, just people in the background. You know, Deadpool came from Weapon X. So, I mean, you could have had Sabretooth in both games. Even if you didn't really want to have him in the Super Nintendo one, he could have just been, like, in a cage or something in Weapon X.
Sabretooth should have been the main villain of both games. There's really no reason for him not to have been. The only reason I can think they would not have made him the main villain in both games is, you know, I guess he may have been in other X-Men games at the time, and, you know, that might seem a little repetitive. Maybe he was also the main villain in the NES game. But, you know, especially in the 90s, like, there's no bigger core Wolverine villain than Sabretooth, and he's not in Super Nintendo at all. And in Genesis, he's just kind of there, and he shows up, and then you beat him, and he says, like, Shinobi Shaw has a price on your head, which is like, that's not the reason Sabretooth fights Wolverine. Sabretooth fights Wolverine because he hates Wolverine and he, you know, gets a thrill out of beating the crap out of him on his birthday. That's why Sabretooth fights Wolverine. He's not going to do it for a bounty. You know, and then there's the whole matter of, like, why does Shinobi Shaw even want to kill Wolverine specifically when he, in the comics, he's never even met him. It never touches on that. Shinobi Shaw, by the way, is the son of Sebastian Shaw, who, you know, most mainstream X-Men fans would know as Kevin Bacon in X-Men First Class. And at the time, Sebastian Shaw was dead, killed by Shinobi. And so Shinobi was the leader of the inner circle of the Hellfire Club, which is, you know, it's cool to have some Hellfire Club representation in there. Selene in the Super Nintendo version actually looked like herself, unlike, do you remember what she looked like in the Spider-Man X-Men game?
Oh, it's been a while since I touched that
Selene in the Spider-Man X-Men game. Well, the conceit in that particular game was that everyone was robots, so it's not technically her, but she was like a horrendous looking, like 40 foot tall woman who just was not the super attractive, you know, basically darker version of Emma Frost that Selene is in the X-Men comics. Whereas here she actually looks like herself, and I don't remember the kinds of powers she uses, but they didn't strike me as particularly off-brand there. But yeah, she is in the Super Nintendo one, and then the Genesis one had a guy who turns out to be the final boss of the game named Trevor Fitzroy, who was kind of a big deal in the comics around that time, but he still wasn't that cool, and he didn't deserve to be the final boss in a game. You remember, did you see who the final boss in the Super Nintendo one is?
I honestly spent so much time on the Genesis one.
Sure.
Because up until right before we started, I was like you growing up and assumed they were pretty close to the same.
Right, right. That's a fair assumption. I mean, there's almost nothing to tell you other than playing the games that they are different games. But yeah, the final boss in the Super Nintendo version, after you actually, you don't defeat Shinobi Shaw. So Shinobi Shaw shows up for about 5 seconds. I'm not exaggerating here. He shows up for about 5 seconds. And then this character called Fugue shows up. And Fugue is a woman in a green hood and like an orange, in a green cape and like an orange hood. I tried looking her up And if this character actually exists in the comics, she's so obscure that like none of the like comicvine.com or Wikia, none of those have her. So I don't think this character ever actually made it into comic books. There's another one called Tri-Fusion that's the same situation. So you fight Fugue after Shinobi Shaw introduces her, and you never see Shinobi Shaw again, and he's like the driving force behind what little story there is in this game. After you beat Fugue, you go through the Hellfire Club floor, and there's like these caverns beneath the Hellfire Club, and you start fighting hand ninjas, and the final boss is a character called the Great Beast, who I guess was the leader of the hand for a while in the 90s. The Great Beast never showed up in any X-Men, any Wolverine, any anything. He was only ever involved with Daredevil and Elektra, and not even that much at that. So I have no idea who would have even thought of like, hey, let's make this obscure Daredevil villain the final boss in a Wolverine game. It just boggles my mind. You know, I think both games actually say that Lady Deathstrike is a big part of the hand, where she's not. She's part of the Reavers, if anything. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily get all of its mythology right, although it does have a lot of the characters, as I said earlier, that showed up in Wolverine comics at the time.
I can tell you that Fugue was a member of the Morlocks.
No. I know what you're looking at, and that's not the same character.
What? Okay, then.
Not the same character. All... Yeah, there's actually, I think if you look on Wikia, there are two Fugues.
Mind blown. What are you doing, Marvel and Marvel
Actually,
games?
You want another world exclusive here. I mentioned earlier in my book, Wrong Retro Games, You Messed Up Our Comic Book Heroes. I'm writing the sequel. This is in it. My entry for this game, I have a sidebar called Who the Fugue Is That? Among Adamantium Rage's laudably laughable lineup of supervillains, which also includes Cyber, Bloodscream, Geist, Tri-Fusion, and the Destroyer Program, plus actual cool characters like Selene and Lady Deathstrike, awaits a character named Fugue. If you look up that name, you find two equally obscure nobodies who aren't this person, identified in her bio as having a real name of Benazir Carr. Thing is, as Shaw's White Queen of the Hellfire Club, Ms. Carr doesn't actually have the powers designated by the game, whereas the Black Queen, Reva Page, actually does. Neither shares the same Fugan ugly fashion sense, however. As I mentioned, she has a very terrible costume. It's just weird. It makes me think like there was a plan for this character, Fugue, and they gave it to the team and said, hey, this is going to be a character that's going to show up around the time that your game does, so it'd be like really current. And then, you know, Marvel decided not to put it in the game. That's the only thing I can come up with, because I don't understand. Because it's one thing I'll say to the Super Nintendo version's credit, which is kind of cool, is it's got really cool bios. Like you turn on the game, and there's a whole like thing you can select of all the bios of the characters in the game. It says Wolverine is 5'7", which he's not. He's 5'3". But the presentation is very nice. They're called X-Files that show did not exist yet. So that was like a new, that wasn't copying anything, but yeah, they're called X-Files, and it has, really good bios of Shinobi Shaw and Tri-Fusion, who also doesn't exist in the comics as far as I can tell. And, you know, Bloodscream and all these other obscure characters. So if nothing else, it's worth looking at the bios for Wolverine Adamantium Rage on Super Nintendo. Genesis has none.
And I'm looking in the Genesis manual right now, and like Fugue's not even in there.
No, not in the Genesis one. Fugue was a Super Nintendo exclusive.
So that makes more sense.
Yeah. Genesis had Trevor Fitzroy as the final boss. That was only on Genesis. Trevor Fitzroy is like kind of a bishop character, I guess, if you had to like pin an X-Man on him, because he's also from Bishop's alternate future, and he was like a teammate of him and his sister Shard. So there's Trevor Fitzroy. There's the Lurker, which is like a kind of a werewolf kind of thing that also you're not going to find if you look it up. However, looking at some comics, I did find the Lurker, and I couldn't really tell much about what they were about, but it's just a big wolf, big white wolf, kind of lanky. So yeah, those might be the only Genesis ones that were exclusive. Actually, one thing that both games kind of had in common too in the middle was the cyber level. You know, I mentioned earlier Cyber's a guy with just adamantium all over him. He has nothing to do with computers. You would think a guy named Cyber would be like hacked into the internet or something, but Cyber has nothing to do with computers at all. But yeah, he has a level in both games that are actually kind of based on his first appearance in the comics, which was in Marvel Comics Presents, which was a big kind of Wolverine. It was a book that Wolverine shared other stories with, and you get like 8 pages of a Wolverine story, and then, you know, it might have been weekly or biweekly, so it was fairly frequent. But Cyber showed up in that, and he clawed Wolverine, and then Wolverine started hallucinating because there was a hallucinogen attached to Cyber's claws. So you get that happening in this game, which, you know, I guess is cool or something. You know, granted, it's all hallucinations, but the entire levels basically play out like reality. So he really dies if he fights the certain character or whatever, but they both have very different kinds of ideas of what this kind of hallucinogenic state is in each game. So it's the same idea, but it's executed very differently in games.
And really, all these different characters, I mean, I go back and forth on it so much because I'll sit there and, you know, play a bunch of Spider-Man games with people, and okay, you see all the same Spider-Man villains, you know. I wish I would see, like, the Shocker more in, you know, roles that actually matter. Or I wish I would see Vulture more. But then you get to a game like this where you actually have obscure characters, and a couple of my friends I was talking to about this one, they were looking at it and it's like, why don't they have more characters that they know who they are?
Yeah. I mean, again, Sabretooth should have been in both games at the very least, and should have been the main bad guy in both of them. That makes no sense to me why they wouldn't at least make him extremely prominent. I mean, you could even put Magneto in there. You know, give us some characters that, you know, the people who watched the X-Men cartoon would know, at least, because that was a huge deal around the time this came out, was the Fox Kids cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a big problem when you have the two mainline X-Men games for Genesis. You've got the, you know, Mutant Apocalypse on Super Nintendo, yeah, and Arcade's Revenge. So you've got so many X-Men games. I mean, I get it. You can't, like, throw the same enemies in every single game. But, you know, when Sabretooth has such a small role and he's very obviously, like, the main one that people know about, it's a little weird.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they could have even done more with Weapon X, I guess. Like I said, it's very confusing at the beginning of the game, because I honestly thought on Genesis that I was playing the Weapon X comic, but for some reason they had me in the yellow costume instead of that weird kind of headgear. Because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, that, I think that facility is even supposed to be abandoned at this point. I don't know. I've kind of harped on about that particular bit a lot, but You know, at the same time, I kind of admire the fact that they dug deep, you know. And if you were a hardcore Wolverine comics fan at the time, you would know all these, well, not all these characters, but most of them, the ones that actually showed up in the comics at the time.
Really, I just think it's a giant example of why you don't sit there and listen to what the fans want. And, you know, we want these super obscure characters. We want to have this ability with stuff. And you make a game that you know is going to work.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know if they were trying to appease fans necessarily. I think they just got a big stack of Wolverine comics from the past 4 years and were like, hey, this cyber guy makes people hallucinate, so let's use him. I think it was kind of like that. You know, they might have had some guidance from Marvel, but I don't think Marvel was very hands-on at this point in their video games. Like, the hands-onness of Marvel started in the 2000s, as far as I understand it. So I think they pretty much just had the license, and they were like, hey, Marvel, are you okay with us using these characters? This is just conjecture. I don't know this for sure. But, you know, it's my feeling that, you know, they're like, yeah, we look through these comics, and this is a very Wolverine-heavy game, so let's use these very Wolverine characters.
And I'm assuming some sort of, like, you know, is this character going to get killed? Or, you know, maybe not even that specific, but, like, is there a reason why we shouldn't use this character? You don't have to tell us what it is, but should we not base our whole game around, you know, like, Sabretooth for whatever reason, because something big is going to happen, you don't want us to ruin that?
Yeah, to be honest, at this point in the game, I don't think Marvel was that into it. They would be now. They would absolutely be now. But back then, like, I think they treated it like toys, you know? Like, it's a game was a T-shirt or a toy. It was, like, just another thing that kids can spend their money on. You know, just don't be ridiculously, you know, out of line in the way you use our license. But, you know, you have all this universe of characters, go ahead and use them. And that's how you get Great Beast in the game, the leader of the hand that ends the game for some reason.
Well, on that crazy note, what do you think this game really gets wrong, if we can sum it up?
Okay. The way that it uses some of its characters is kind of wrong. Actually, we didn't actually talk about LCD yet in her role in this game. But like I said earlier, LCD is an android who kills Wolverine, or is designed to kill Wolverine by exploding. In this game, LCD is basically a timer on the level. And once you've taken too long in a level, I think there's like a bar in the lower right on the Genesis version, and then the Super Nintendo version, there's nothing. It just happens. LCD, a little 4-year-old girl, pops up and explodes on you, and your game is over. Whereas in the comics, you know, like I said earlier, there's a moment where she has that opportunity and does not follow through with it. So that's just like kind of an example of how it kind of got like little facets of characters wrong. But, you know, it did have a lot of these characters, which I think warrants some degree of respect. They definitely look like they do. Yeah, the both games, I think, actually are pretty good looking games. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, outside of the comic panels in the Super Nintendo right. one. And really, that's, like, if that had come out early Super Nintendo, okay, you're totally fine. But just coming after Separation Anxiety and Maximum Carnage, I mean, especially with LJN publishing those too.
Yeah, this would have been about the same time as Maximum Carnage. Separation Anxiety would have been the following year, but that also dropped the ball on. It didn't even bother with cutscenes. It's just walls of text. I'm pretty impressed with not only the way it looks, but Wolverine has a lot of attacks and movements in both. It's just the way they control that is so detrimental to the game, unfortunately. It kind of breaks my heart, because this is actually pretty close to being, you know, a pretty competent Wolverine game on both systems. It's just controlled so badly.
What do you think is the biggest one or two things this game gets right?
You know, Wolverine is very Wolverine, and he has all those moves, and you know, he can do things like claw up the side of a wall, and you know, at least in the Super Nintendo one, he can claw the ceiling. In the Genesis one, he has a great lunge attack, which is very Wolverine, and the Super Nintendo one should have had that, but it did not. You know, it basically gets Wolverine-ness there. It would have been cool to have like a Berserker Rage kind of mode. I think the first X-Men game on Genesis did that, where you know you perform a certain way for a while, and Wolverine just loses control and just, you know, attacks anything around him. You know, I would like to have seen a Berserker Rage. You know, Adamantium Rage is in the title. You don't really see what that means. It's just a cool name.
There is something I think we both completely forgot about, though, for a while.
What's that?
He's actually got a healing factor in this game.
Yes. Yes, that is a good... That is definitely worth saying a good thing about. Although, it's... You know, like if you watch like some of these long plays on YouTube, there's one specifically that actually is kind of tongue in cheek, kind of funny, where it's like 5 minutes later, because literally he beats everybody on the screen and he's like at 20% health and he just waits. He waits till it gets to 100% before he moves on to the boss fight in the next screen. I think partially the LCD mechanic of having a timer was used to curtail that a bit, so you can't exploit it that much, but you can still kind of exploit it, but you just have to wait and stand around and be bored for a while.
Yeah, but I think just the fact that it's there this early is amazing.
Yeah, there were definitely some instances where I would be in the midst of a fight and, you know, like 20-30% health, like, you know, not almost dead, but getting there. And then, you know, I'd do pretty well, and it would take a while to beat the guy, and I'd be at, like, 40% at the end of it. So I was actually, like, gaining health as I fought. You know, by the way, the Super Nintendo bot, or just regular characters to kill, take way too long. Like, there's just normal guys, and, you know, on both games, something they both get very wrong is, like, Adamantium does not feel like Adamantium in this game. These claws are not any more powerful in either game than like a kick is, which is, it's unfortunate. I get it, because, you know, really, like, anything dies with one hit. But it's kind of the same problem Star Wars lightsabers have, is, like, you know, you hit anything, it's going to die. But, you know, they should have figured some way out to make the claws stronger, you know,
or at least say that everybody is a really strong robot,
something like that.
Because at least, even if it's a stupid reason, it's at least an attempt, a hand wave attempt to make something somewhat logical.
Yeah, and you know, I will say that, you know, past games, it's actually punished you for using Wolverine's claws. It's like hurt him, so it doesn't do that. That's good. but yeah, I will say that, you know, I'm not going to say I enjoyed playing the game, but I liked playing it more than I thought I would, at least on Super Nintendo and Genesis, I guess, too. If you can learn the terrible controls, you can sort of get, you know, the lay of the land and how the game works out of it. but yeah, the controls, just don't expect them to do what you expect them to do until you're totally used to them after at least 30 minutes, I'd say. Actually, another good thing for both games, I would say in different ways, is the music. You know, I was playing the Super Nintendo version, and my wife was actually like totally getting into the music. And apparently, have you ever heard of a music style called grime?
I haven't.
I haven't either. It's a British thing. It's like apparently grime was a very popular like dance club style of music, and there are people who are into that particular music style, and they've gone back and found this game from 1994, which predates that musical style, but there is like a track or two that would be defined as grime music. So it was kind of ahead of its time in that respect. You know, and then the Genesis definitely sounds very tinny Genesis-y in terms of music, but it's got kind of more of what I would expect, like a hard rock kind of edge to it. And you know, they're both different soundtracks, but I think they're both pretty good for their systems respectively.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself actually turning it up to play this for either one.
Yeah, I had the Super Nintendo. I wasn't even doing anything, and my wife was just literally she was enjoying the music, and you know, every so often in the Super Nintendo one, you'll actually hear somebody say Wolverine. So it actually had words, or word, I guess.
So I feel like I probably don't need to ask this, but if somebody really wanted to learn about Wolverine, would you hand them either version of this game as a little bit of a primer course?
I think if you want to know about a very specific point of Wolverine history, like late 80s to early 90s, creeping into the mid 90s, then I would say watch a Let's Play on YouTube. or, you know what, go to the Super Nintendo version and just go to the BIOS from the main menu. Don't pay attention to Fugue and Try, whatever his name is. And that's a pretty good look at the kinds of people that Wolverine and the X-Men, in the case of Shinobi Shaw, who doesn't really have anything to do with Wolverine specifically, you know, it's kind of a nice little time capsule. You know, Cyber is a very like 90s villain. Like the name Cyber is one of the most 90s names that ever 90s, even though it has nothing to do with computers, which baffled me then, it baffles me now.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
His name is Silas Burr. Apparently, like his actual character name. And that, I think, was a retcon anyway. Like, from the start, he was just known as Cyber for a long time. But then he became Silas Burr, and that's why they call him Cyber.
On that note, Chris, if people like hearing from you around the internet, where else can they find you?
Yeah, type in superhero.vg, as in video game, into your internet browser of choice, and you'll find my YouTube channel. Where I talk about superhero video games. If you like this show, I really think you'll like my channel, like more than almost anyone out there, because it is literally about superhero video games all the time. You know, my most recent one is about why maybe the Superman Atari 2600 game is actually kind of quietly revolutionary. You know, and... you know, I've done stuff on, going back to Wolverine, I have an interview I did with Mark Hamill in 2002, where he was the voice of Wolverine in the X2 Wolverine's Revenge. So if you want to hear Wolverine, or if you want to hear Mark Hamill geek out about Wolverine, you can find that on my channel. You know, just a bunch of stuff from the past, a bunch of stuff from... a lot of Spider-Man PS4 stuff. I did a lot of like looking forward to that and trying to figure out stuff like that. You can see how right I was or how wrong I was about stuff. That's your thing. So yeah, I have that. I have my book, which you can just type in wrong retro on Amazon. It'll come right up. Look for me on Twitter, and all that stuff is there at cbake76, cbake76. And my game Operencia, The Stolen Sun, will be out this year, so keep an eye open for that.
Yep, and if you're like me and can't spell, we'll have links down in the show notes.
Well, I don't expect you to spell Operencia off the top of your head. It's not an American word. It's a Hungarian word.
Well, that just makes me want to go check it out even more.
There you go.
I don't know why. And if you want to hear more from me, you can always go head on over to Twitter or the Facebook groups. We'll have links down to that in the show notes as well. You can check out the merch store, the Patreon. If you like to hear me talk about things that aren't video games, you can hear me over on Meddling Kids. We'll have links over there too, where my wife and I just talk about Scooby-Doo and how much we love it. If you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, you can go on over to Best Day SoundCloud channel over at soundcloud.com/best-day. But most of all, just grab yourself a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.
Probably not going to be Cyber.
No, probably not at all.
Probably not Shinobi Shaw or Trevor Fitzroy either.
It's probably not going to be anybody from this game, except for Wolverine.
Oh, Lady Deathstrike's in both games. I forgot to mention that, but she's so nothing of a character in both games, too. Oh, I did mention that. Anyway, thanks for having me. It was nice.
Hey, not a problem at all. I'm amazed that we both existed online for as long as we did without doing this already.
Yeah, I can't remember how I found out about you a couple weeks ago. Did you? I don't remember. I don't remember how I found out about you, but I'm glad I did.
It's the power of Reddit and Panels to Pixels, which is another show everybody should go check out.
Yes, absolutely.
And one day, when we can get the stupid time zone thing figured out, we're going to make it everything happen where we can be on each other's shows as well.
Yeah, Josh is so far in the future, it does make things difficult. Although he is quite the night owl. I did a live stream with him, not a live stream, but a chat with him about a year ago about Spider-Man games, and he was up till like 2 a.m. his time doing it. So
that's ridiculous.
He cares, man. Panels to Pixels, gotta check it out.